declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. All right, so this is his prayer, and he prays for the Colossian people that are saved and born again, and he prays this for them. He desires this for them. And so this is Paul, and he wants these things for them. If you notice in verse number 9, it says, all wisdom and spiritual understanding. In verse number 10, it says, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. It says in verse 11, with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Paul wants the church to have all of the things that God has for him. That's what he says in verse number 9. He says, and desire that ye might be filled. Filled. He wants them to be filled with these things that he prays for and talks to them about here in these few verses. He wants them to be filled. He wants them to have all of what God offers. And I hope that's your attitude and my attitude. I want that to be my attitude, is when God has something for me, I know it's going to be good for me. And I want all of what he has for me. There's nothing like just being half in, just doing something half effort. I don't know if that ever bothers you. It bothers me. It bothers me to see somebody else do it, or to be a part of something and somebody else, you're doing something with somebody else, or there's a job that somebody else has to do and they just give half of an effort. Kind of, sort of, we'll just do this a little bit. That's frustrating. Why? Just do the best you can do. Give it all that you have. I was talking here tonight to Brother Lund back here. Listen, if I'm going to do dessert, I want to go all in on dessert. If I'm not going to do dessert, I just better stay away from it. But it's this idea of just going all in and doing it all, giving it your best, wanting all of what the Lord has for you. Man, as Christians, we could stop there and preach a while on that. But let's move on here with this thought. We talked about being filled. And last Thursday, this time in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. It says being filled, we're going to back up even further than that, sorry, be filled with the knowledge of his will. That's where we're going to start. Then my notes said, don't start where you were going to start, start what's on the page. Yeah, good idea. So we want to be filled with the knowledge of his will. Now turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5:17. The knowledge of his will, Ephesians 5:17, the Bible says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. The will of the Lord for our lives. We can know what that is. We can understand what the will of the Lord for our lives is. It's not a mystery. At least the Lord doesn't want it to be a mystery. Sometimes the Lord, during the preaching, during your Bible reading, the Lord will just keep harping on this thing that he has for you. And if we're not careful, we can say, Lord, why are you continuing to tell me this? Why do I keep hearing the same thing over and over again? Sometimes I've heard people say, oh, the preacher just preaches on the same thing. And I'm thinking, well, either I'm preaching it, and I'm like, what? These aren't the same things. Or I'm hearing another preacher. I'm like, he's not saying the same thing all the time. You know what I did? Do you know what I think it is sometimes? It's the Lord in every message saying this, putting the same thing on people's hearts, and they're acting like they don't hear it. They're acting like they don't want to hear it. And the Lord keeps saying the same thing over and over again because they're not listening. And the will of the Lord is understandable for you and I. We can know what the Lord wants us to do. We might not know what the Lord's going to want us to do 5 years from now. We've talked about that. We don't have it all figured out, right? Young people, myself, I want to have it all figured out. Can you just lay it out there for me? I'd just like to know. Can you lay it out there? And the Lord says, no, I'm not going to do that. You have to walk by faith. And it's the only thing that's going to please me from now until the day you die is to walk by faith. And so just trust me. I don't know what the Lord wants me to do in 10 years. No, I don't. Maybe I do. Maybe I should know. Maybe I should know. An angel just got its wings. I don't know what just happened right there. I'm going to stick with it, though. I think it's biblically accurate. All right, is we don't know what is coming down the road, but we can know what we're supposed to be doing today. We can know what we're supposed to be working on for tomorrow. We can know what the will of the Lord is for our lives right now. He's more than willing to often impart that information to us so that we can follow what he wants for us. We can understand what the will of the Lord is. Turn to Acts 13. Acts 13. Over the years, with young people when I worked with them mostly, and adults as well, once I had some different responsibilities in New York and here, of course, being pastor, and people say, well, what does the Lord want me to do? I have these things, and what's the Lord want me to do? And what am I supposed to do? And oftentimes, I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what the Lord specifically wants for you. Now, I know what you should be doing. I can tell you some things. I know what you should be doing. And that'll put you in the right place to know what the Lord wants for you. We can't put our fingers in our ears and start humming a tune and then expect the Lord to tell us or to be able to understand what the will of the Lord is. We can't go bury our heads in the sand and then say, well, the Lord doesn't tell me what he wants me to do. We can't be so full of the world that it's just noise and stuff constantly, and then we just come into church and kind of half listen to the preacher and say, the Lord's just not talking to me. The Lord, here's the thing about the Lord, I heard a preacher say one time, the Lord will not compete with the rest of the noise that you allow in your life. And that was Brother Shemesh, just so you'll really listen to it. We like him. Yeah, I have no problems giving credit. Unless I don't like them, and then I'll just not tell you who it is. But Brother Shemesh said, the Lord is not going to compete with the noise. And often we add the noise in our lives. And he says, the Lord won't compete with that. He'll talk to you, and he'll want to communicate with you, but he's not going to compete with the rest of the stuff that we put in our lives. And so he wants us to know what his will is. And he desires for us to know it and for us to be in his will. Acts 13, verse number 22. Acts 13, 22. Benjamin reigns for 40 years in verse 21, and then in verse 22, and when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony, and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart. Now, we know that. We know that saying. We know that David is a man after God's own heart. But let's read the rest of the verse. Which shall fulfill all my will, God says. What's this thing about David being a man after God's own heart? What did that lead to? That led to God saying, you know what David's going to do? He's going to fulfill my will. That's what he's going to do as king. Now, we saw Saul didn't do that, and God took the kingdom from Saul. And David had his own problems, and he did some of his own thing. He let his will, sinful will, supersede the Lord on a couple occasions. But he said, the things that I'm trying to accomplish for Israel, David's going to fulfill all my will. Why? Because David knew it, and God communicated it to David. And David said, I'm going to do this, John chapter number 6. John 6. John 6, 38. And ye have not his word, and ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. Let me read. Am I in the right chapter? I'm not. Those are good verses. But they don't have anything to do. Now, if I didn't catch that, I would just run off with search the scriptures, because that's how you can find the Lord's will. But, which is a good point, and I'll get there, but that's not what I was looking for. 6:38. I know where I am. Do you know where I am? All right. For I came down from heaven. This makes much more sense. Not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. The Lord Jesus Christ says, I have come to do the will of him that sent me. That's what I have come to do, is to bend my will to the Lord's will. This is Jesus Christ speaking. That had the will of a man inside of him. He was God, and yet he was all man. And the manhood, the humanity of Christ, had its own will. And he said, I haven't come to do my will. I've come to do his will. And that's what I want to do. That's what Christ said. And what did God do? God made it available. Turn to Romans 8. I'm going to double check my chapters this time. Romans 8. I read the first verse and I thought, that's a weird place to start. And I don't usually do that. That's because I was wrong. That made sense. After that, it made perfect sense. Romans 8, 26, the Bible says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. That's the Holy Spirit. God searcheth the hearts, and he knows he can search our hearts. What is the mind of the Spirit? Why? Because the Spirit, it makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit of God that dwells inside of us through salvation knows the will of God. And so when we listen to the Holy Spirit, when we're led of the Holy Spirit, we are being led of God in God's will. And both of those things can be true at the same time. We can follow the Holy Spirit's leading because that is God's leading. And we can know the will of God because the Holy Spirit of God knows his will and dwells inside of us. And the Holy Spirit bears witness to the truth, bears witness to the Scripture, teaches us and guides us in all things. This is what the Holy Spirit has given to us to do. And so we can know the will of the Lord through the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5. We were here already, but let's go back. Ephesians 5, verse 17. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. It tells us how to know what the will of the Lord is. Be filled with the Spirit. That's what he says, back-to-back verses. Understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That's how we can know what the will of the Lord is, because he goes on from there to say, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then it talks about submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Then it talks about wives and talks about husbands and talks about the Lord and the church. It talks about what the will of some of the things that are the will of the Lord, and we're to be filled with the Spirit. That's to have the knowledge of His will. The knowledge of His will. Well, how do I get the knowledge of His will? Well, do what you know to do. And then He'll tell you what to do next. Just do what you know to do. What do I do? We went over some things on Sunday morning, some back to basics. What do you know to do? Read your Bible. Keep reading your Bible every day. You miss a day, duh. Read it the next day. And keep going. Pray. Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. I need some help, Lord. I need some direction. He's faithful to give you some direction. Come to church. You can hear the preaching of God's word. You can sing the songs. You'd be amazed when we're locked into the words of the songs and singing out unto the Lord, how He can minister to our hearts, comfort our hearts, direct our hearts. We can sing a song like, "Guide me, O thou great Jehovah." And we can think, yeah, here I am trying to figure it all out. That's what I do. That I've had to learn over the years, because this is my first, when something comes up, my first thought is, you got to figure it out. And then I think to myself, don't figure it out, because you'll be wrong. Let the Lord show you what's going on. Let the Lord lead and guide. You don't have to figure it out. You have the Lord. Okay? Now, He has given us common sense. I saw something the other day that said the world is short on thinking caps. Right? It just seems like there's a whole bunch of who knows what going on. Not a lot of thinking going on out there. Right? But sometimes in churches, not a lot of thinking going on in churches. We're the Lord has given us the ability to use our minds and to read the scriptures. But what He wants us to lead and guide and direct us. He's not going to give it to you in a fortune cookie. You know, I'm really trying to serve the Lord, so I just keep ordering a Chinese, right? One of these days, I'm just going to open it up and, oh, that's what I'm supposed to do. No, He's not going to do that for you. It's going to be in here. Read the Bible as you're eating your Chinese, all right? It's going to come from here. It's going to come from church. It's going to come from speaking with one another and praying for one another and getting counsel from each other and praying for each other and doing those things. Do what you know you're to do. And the Lord will open up the doors as you go along. He'll do it. He's faithful to do that. All right, Colossians chapter 1 says, be filled, verse 9, with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. This goes along with it. Filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. James 1. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse number 5. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, all right, now you can just stop there and just do a little inventory, and we can all find that we could use some more, right? Now, some of us, I'll speak for myself, some of us are bins pretty small, all right? But I could still use more. I could still use more. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally. Now, don't think blue when you hear liberal. Liberally gives unto and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. You realize that promise we have from the Lord? Now, this doesn't mean we're going to become, you know, extremely intelligent overnight. This is wisdom. wisdom. And you don't have to be educated to have wisdom. And it's kind of, well, it's almost inversely proportionate. It's almost the more education you have, the less ability you are to have wisdom. But wisdom is simply understanding and wisdom in life. It's application of things that you learn, right? Understanding is, you know, when I tried to do that last time, it didn't go well. That's understanding because you went through it. Wisdom is next time you come to that spot, you go, this looks familiar. Note to self. Last time I tried this, it went poorly. Of course, you know how we are in the flesh. This time, I'll really get it. You know, no, what we should think is we should let the Lord give us wisdom and say, I should do this a different route. I should ask the Lord how to handle this time. Because last time I just kind of went my own strength. I tried to accomplish this the way I thought it was supposed to go instead of asking wisdom of the Lord. And if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. He's looking to give you wisdom and upbraideth not. The Lord's never like, are you back here asking for wisdom again? The Lord doesn't do that. And it shall be given him. This I've quoted this promise many times to the Lord. Say, Lord, well, here I am, and I'm about to have to make a decision here, and I don't know what's going on, but I need wisdom. I lack it. I don't have it. Any wisdom you gave me, I lost it. I don't know where I put it. It's somewhere. I threw it out. I don't know what I did with it, but I need wisdom. And Lord, you said you would give it to me if I'm asking you for it, so please bail me out again because I can't figure it out. I don't know what the right thing to do is. And I'm afraid because I know my track record. If you don't give me the wisdom, I'm going to make a decision and I know where we go with that. It's usually not good. And the Lord said he's willing to do that. Look in Proverbs 2. Proverbs 2. Proverbs 2. Verse number 6. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. Of course, Proverbs talks many, many times about wisdom. But the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. What did I say? I said, do what you know to do. Do what you know to do. Out of his mouth, God cometh knowledge and understanding. Out of God's mouth comes words, and he even wrote them down for us. He wrote them down for us so that we could have them and we could read them anytime we wanted. And we can say, Lord, I need wisdom, but I don't hear you talking to me. Well, we can go open up our Bibles often to where we're just reading in our Bibles, and the Lord brings about the things that we need from his word. And it comes from his word. Why? Because wisdom is given from the Lord. The Lord giveth wisdom. So in Colossians, it says this. In Colossians, it says in verse number 9, be filled with the knowledge of his will and in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That's the first thing that we're supposed to do. Know what his will is for us today. Don't worry about tomorrow. Know what his will is for us today. And get some knowledge, get some wisdom in spiritual understanding. We get some knowledge and some wisdom in spiritual understanding. What are we supposed to do next? Well, verse 10, that we get the will of the Lord, we get the knowledge of his will with wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk. That ye might walk. That's what we're supposed to do in this Christian life. We're supposed to be on the move. We're supposed to do something. We're supposed to understand what his will is with wisdom and spiritual understanding that we might walk. That's what we're supposed to do. We're not to just sit on it. We're not to just gain all this knowledge and then sit on it. We're supposed to be moving. We're supposed to be doing something for the Lord. We're supposed to be in motion for God. That doesn't mean we always have to be literally getting up and walking places. It's what we're doing for the Lord. It's the action of our Christianity. It's not sitting down all the time and just absorbing everything. It's getting up and doing things. It's doing something for the Lord. Getting up and doing something might be sitting down and spending time in prayer. You understand? It doesn't mean that we have to jump up and be active. Because, you know, the older we get, the less active we get. And so that doesn't mean that we're, well, we can't be used of God. No. We can do great things for the Lord in any phase of life with whatever God has for us to do right now. And what you find out is as the years come and they click by, they come and they go, and the next one comes and goes, and we find ourselves less active. Sometimes we find ourselves with being less active means we have more time. And with more time, we can accomplish some great things for the Lord that we might not have had all the time to do when we were constantly up and going and running around. The Lord has it all figured out. The Lord doesn't say, all right, how old are you? All right, well, appreciate the years. You're useless now. No, that's not the Lord. That's not what the Lord does. But we are to walk, Romans chapter 6. Romans 6. Verse 3, Romans 6, 3, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Now, this is a spiritual baptism by the Holy Spirit. Verse 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Living. That's what it means. Our walk with the Lord is our life that we live. That's our walk with the Lord. It's the life that we're living. How are we living it? What are we doing with it? Are we doing something for the Lord? That's our walk. Look in chapter number 8, Romans 8. In verse number 1 this time, Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Talks about this walk, and of course this walk, well, we get to choose what kind of walk we have. And we can walk in the flesh or we can walk in the Spirit. We're going to live our lives. We're going to do something with our lives. And so what are we doing? There's a lot of things we can do. There's a lot of things the Lord allows us to do. There's a lot of things that the Lord has called us to do in this life, and they're not all spiritual things. I never thought of going to work as an electrician was a spiritual thing. But I had a job. The Lord gave me a job, and it was in order to pay the bills, and it was in order to support my family, and it was in order to, gave me the ability to do some things for the Lord. But I had to go and do that every day. Well, I could be on the job and I could walk in the flesh or I could walk in the Spirit as I was doing electrical work. I had an option. What was I doing with my life? How was I living my life? How was I living those days being an electrician? How was I living those as a testimony? What was I saying as I went through those days? What was I allowing to go into my ears and into my brain as I lived out those days? What was I allowing my hands to do? Was I actually working while I was in the job? Was I living as a Christian should be living on the job? What was I doing during those times when we would say, well, that's not spiritual? No, being an electrician didn't make me spiritual. But I could walk as a Christian doing what God wanted me to do, and you also can walk as a Christian doing whatever God's asked you to do. And we walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. Look in Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 1. Ephesians 4, 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Or to walk. Or to walk worthy of the vocation. What's the vocation? It's the job that the Lord's given us to do. It's the vocation is the work. It's the work that he's given us to do, that we're called. With all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We're walking worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Paul says, hey, I'm a prisoner. I'm not able to be out there living and doing whatever I want to do, but I can still walk after the Spirit. I can still do what the Lord wants me to do. And so whatever that vocation is that he's... Listen, not everyone's called to preach. Not everyone's called to pastor. Not everyone's called to a leadership position in a church. It's just, we can't all be leaders. It doesn't work. If we're all leaders, there's no followers. If we're all pastors, there's no one to preach to. If we're all Sunday school teachers, there's no one sitting in the class. But he's called us to live for him. He's given us lives to live for him in the places that we go and the things that he's given us to do and the doors that he's opened up for us. The doors that he's opened up for us and the will that he has for us to walk through and the jobs that we have and the families that we have and the people that we can meet. God's given that. That's what he's given us to do. Something to do in that realm. I can do very little in the realm that you live unless you take me with you. And you don't want to do that. I'll save you the trouble. You don't want to do that. God's called you to do that, where he's put you. And we're to walk worthy of that. And then he says, wherewith ye are called. Well, how do we walk in the Spirit, in the vocation where we're called? He gives us an example, verse 2. With all lowliness and meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. What is all that? That's our walk. That's how we're supposed to be walking. It's all part of walking in the Spirit. Philippians chapter number 1 and verse 10. He says that ye might walk, same thing he said in Ephesians, worthy of the Lord. Worthy of the Lord. Unto all pleasing. Well, we'll get into it, but you know who we're trying to please, right? It's the Lord. We're walking worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Pleasing him. Not pleasing your family. Not pleasing yourself. So here's what happens when we try to please ourselves. We find out the flesh is never satisfied. So we think, boy, if I could just, then I'd be satisfied. And we get there, we do that, we buy that, we partake of that, whatever it is. We get there, and then we're like, not satisfied. I mean, we might be gratified briefly, but we're not satisfied. We're not satisfied with it. We want more of whatever or the next thing. The flesh is never satisfied. So if we're trying to please ourselves by serving the Lord, because the Bible talks about having a will worship, we think, well, look at all the things that I've done. We please ourselves, we pat ourselves on the back because we've been able to reach some kind of plateau that we think deems us as being spiritual. And we say, well, see, look at that. And we try to please ourselves and realize, oh, well, we're not happy with that. Because we not only were trying to please ourselves in acting spiritual, we're probably trying to please somebody else. So they would look at us and say, oh, they are spiritual. And then we find out that they're not as happy about how spiritual we are as we are. Did you ever notice that? No one's ever as impressed with how spiritual you are. You're always more impressed. Don't you understand how spiritual I am? And other people are like, wow, yeah, you're really spiritual. Like, I was looking for something more than that. I was looking for more gratification for you to be really excited about how spiritual I am. People are like, whatever. And so we try to please others, and, well, there's not enough reward in that. Try to please ourselves, we're never satisfied. Try to please somebody else, well, there's not enough reward. We're not getting patted on the back enough. We're not getting, you know, brought up in front of everybody and said, they're spiritual. And so what do we have to do? Well, we have to do it for the Lord. Because if we don't do it for the Lord, we'll find ourselves not doing it. And it's amazing when our attitude is to please the Lord and when we give ourselves unto pleasing Him, it's amazing how much we don't need the pat on the back. It's amazing how much we can see ourselves in the light that we should see ourselves in when we're trying to please Him and say, Lord, I really want to please You, and then realize how much we don't, and then say, well, I'm not going to stand up there and allow anyone to praise me. That's impossible. Because I know me. I'm not going to be looking for someone to say good things about me. You know, it's like, you know what? I'm going to stop saying good things about me. Why don't you say good things about me? You know, it's like, no, when we know ourselves, we know enough to say, yeah, I fall short. But we want to please Him. We want to please Him. And so what do? We try to walk worthy. That's what He says. He says in verse 9, see how it builds upon each other? Be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Lord, what do You want me to do? And then when He tells you what He wants you to do in verse 9, then what do you do in verse 10? Walk. Walk in those things. Do those things. We'll go back to the easy one. You should read your Bible. All right? Lord, what do You want me to do? Read My Word. Okay. Tomorrow? No, today. Do it today. How about tomorrow? No, walk. You know what He wants you to do, then do that thing. Do that thing. Walk. And how are we supposed to walk? Worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing. Walk worthy of. Say, what do you mean worthy of the Lord? Well, I understand. We know who we are. We know where we came from. We know what the Lord's done for us. So we're not really worthy of anything the Lord gives us. We didn't earn it. But we can walk worthy of the Lord for the understanding and the meaning of we can walk in His will and we can walk to please Him and we can walk according to what He wants for us. And we're doing it worthy of the Lord is what we're doing. Not that we're earning ourselves some type of worth. All right, but our attempts for the Lord, we're walking worthy of the Lord. And how are we supposed to do it? Unto all pleasing. Unto all pleasing. Again, we'll talk about that next time, but all pleasing. And not just there, being fruitful. We talked about that already, remember, a couple verses ago? Probably many Thursday nights ago. We're supposed to walk worthy and all pleasing, being what? Fruitful. And then doing what? Increasing in the knowledge of God. Not just staying in one spot, but continuing on. So Paul here for this church, the Colossian people, he says, this is my prayer for you. And it's not just this one thing. I mean, there's great lessons in this prayer of him saying, listen, doesn't matter where you are in the Lord, how long you've been saved, how short you've been saved, how much Bible you know, how little Bible you know. He says, listen, God has something for you. And ask wisdom, figure out that thing for you, and then let's get going. Let's get going. You know what the preacher has to do? The preacher tries to preach and open up eyes and ears to the Word of God so that the Holy Spirit deals with us on an individual level so that he reveals unto us what we're to be doing. And then sometimes the preacher has to then get up in the pulpit again and go, all right, get going. Get going. All right, do it. You can do it. And then sometimes the preacher has to get up there and go, okay, get going. You're still sitting around doing nothing. What's it going to take? Come on. And that's what it is. It's that walk. It's going and continuing to walk in the right spirit. All right, we'll quit there here tonight. Let me make a line there. And we'll talk about that all pleasing. But there's great things to learn from his word. I'm so thankful that in this Christian life, he doesn't just leave us to ourselves to figure it all out. He's not a God that says, all right, you need to please me, and without faith, it's impossible to please me. And then he says, figure out how to please me. And then you're stuck. You're going, I don't know what to do. That's not the Lord that we serve. The Lord is gracious, and he's merciful, and he has something for you to do for him. And when we start doing something and we do something for him, we realize, hey, this is way better. You know, this job the Lord's given me to do, and maybe not every day is super exciting on the job, but when I'm on the job and the Lord's given me something to do also, while I'm doing the job that the Lord's given me, now there's an eternal purpose for what the Lord's given me to do. There's people around me who have souls, and the Lord's given me an eternal purpose. As an electrician, my job wasn't just there to hook up or fix or rearrange or whatever it was that I was doing for the electrical work of the day. It was also, you're a testimony and you have a purpose and you can please me, and so many things that can go on that the Lord gives us to do. And what a blessing it is to do that and to walk worthy of the Lord. All right, let's go ahead and take some prayer requests here tonight.